Welcome. My name is Dr. Lauren Cohen, and I'm your host for the Spiritual Success Summit. We are here to pull back the curtain to reveal the challenges, myths, and misconceptions that we often experience when applying the principles of consciousness and spirituality into our lives, and to provide practical and tangible solutions so you can successfully create spiritually inspired life you desire. Today's guest is the owner of Happy Living Forever and the master of being your most lovable self. Professionally, she teaches singles how to gain the necessary dating and relationship skills to have a lasting relationship. As a kid, Suzanne often felt unlovable, unwanted, and not good enough. Finally, she figured out what love is and how to have a healthy relationship. It took her 40 years, but she did it, and she is here with us today to share with us how achieving relationship success comes from first having a successful relationship with yourself. I'm so happy to have Suzanne Muller-Hines with us today. Suzanne, welcome.
Hi, Lauren. So great to be here with you and everyone.
And, you know, before I have you introduce yourself, we were speaking right before we got on the recording, and you know, I know that there are people out in the listening audience who think I am completely off my rocker for having a dating and relationship coach in the summit. And, you know, I even had a friend when I was sharing some of the guests that were going to be on. She's like, you know, Lauren, this is a spiritual summit. Why are you going to have a dating and relationship coach? And I was like, this is the perfect person to have, because at the foundation of the spiritual journey, it's really about having relationship with ourselves, and everything in life springboards from there. You know, having a healthy relationship, having a relationship with money, having a relationship with a significant partner, with, you know, with business people or colleagues, with friends, with everything around us is all about relationship. And when we have unhealthy relationships with any of these things, the foundation of that is that we don't have a healthy, loving, connected relationship with ourselves first. So learning these skills is so very important on the spiritual journey, and I am so excited to have you here and share your wisdom to really help bring in what we call the basics and the foundations that we need in order to really successfully move forward. So can you share a little bit about your journey and, you know, your experience with us?
Oh, I'd love to, Lauren. Thank you so much for that generous introduction and sharing a little bit about my background. You're so spot on. And, you know, my journey has been one of struggle and turmoil within myself, as you kind of started to acknowledge. But I'd actually say it was even deeper than that. I would even say that at some point I hated myself. I hated my body. I hated my parents. Like, I just was in so much struggle within myself that when I started to get out into the dating world, I was desperate for love. I wanted to be loved so badly because I had so much love within myself, so to say, to give. But I was looking for love in all the wrong places. It was like one man paid attention to me or gave me some attention. Inside, I was like, oh, maybe he's it. Oh, will you love me? Oh, my God. It was like that love that I always wanted from my father, who was, you know, bipolar and alcoholic, which was obviously very difficult as a family. You know, I don't know if anybody has dysfunctional families out there, but we did. Have we worked through a lot of things? Absolutely. But mostly I had to work through the happiness and the fulfillment and the love inside of myself, mostly, Lauren, which is, you know, where my journey started.
Yeah. And I, you know, and the same thing is for me, is that there was a point, like, I was so unhappy within myself in my, you know, in my late teens that I had a moment in time where I honestly said, if this is what life is, if it is going to be this hard and this unhappy, I'd really rather not live it. And, you know, I've shared that story in, you know, in when I teach workshops and I'm talking, you know, I'm doing talks. And the interesting thing is you just watch the audience shaking their head up and down. Like, how many people can relate to this sense of not being happy and then going forward in life. And it was really a pivotal moment for me, because at the same time that I heard that voice say, if this is, you know, this is what life is, I'd rather not live it, I heard another voice almost simultaneously that said, this is not the life you were born to live. And I knew that there was a happier way. And at that moment, I didn't know what it was and how to get it. But that was the start, you know, or, you know, the active start of my spiritual journey, when I consciously made a decision to go explore and find that.
I love that you said that, Lauren, because I had those moments as well. But mostly I also had moments of looking at my parents and going, is that really what healthy relationship is? Like, ugh, it was just really prickly, and they were doing the best that they could. And I thought, oh, my God, if that's what a healthy, fulfilling relationship is, I don't want anything to do with it. However, I was on a path to be like them as well, because that's all I knew. So there was a part of me that was like, okay, wait, stop. Something's working, and something's not working, rather. And there was a time where I got wrapped up with this gentleman, and I found out he cheated on me. And I think that was my turning point moment, that I was like, wait, I'm a pretty good-looking, smart woman, but I was making so many bad choices for myself. And I knew at that point I needed to stop and become a student again and learn about dating, love, relationships, newly, Lauren, or I was going to go down that tunnel and be miserable with my future.
Yeah, you know, and you bring up this point about, you know, looking at your parents, and it's really interesting because we learn from the people around us. And if for, you know, whatever, you know, our journey was and whatever our family was at the time, if we didn't have good relationship modeling and good self-love modeling, we don't have it. You know, it's like you said, it's like you had to become a student. It was something, and we've talked a lot about this, again, in the summit, about we have to first unlearn and then relearn.
Mm-hmm.
And the unlearn is all about that self-awareness piece and figure out what it is that you currently believe. And then now you have something clear to work with and work on. And without that self-awareness piece, you really don't unlearn. Like, we try to learn something on top of what is, you know, not working for us, as opposed to taking what's not working for us and transform it into something that does.
Exactly.
It's a very different process. It's a very, very different process. And the self-reflection is, you know, you ever want to know what your inner story is about yourself, get into a significant relationship. Because whatever your true inner beliefs are will show up in that space. And if you are able to really, 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 like, reflect without judgment, you will discover a wealth of knowledge about yourself, because I know that I have.
That's very, very true. And I think, you know, a lot of people, especially conscious people and spiritual people, have learned a lot about themselves, which is terrific. And you add that second dynamic of another person, woo! You know, it's almost like relearning everything all over again with another person about yourself. And a lot of stuff from my past will come up within my relationship, and then I have to reflect and, you know, look within again. And it's challenging, but it's the most rewarding thing I've ever been through. Would you say?
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a saying, and I do not know where I heard or read this quote. It was just something that stuck, is that we will choose partners at our exact level of dysfunction. Because, you know, again, in the spiritual realm, we talk about everything as a reflection or everything as a mirror. And but when we get into, you know, into relationships, we often, like, kind of sort of blame the other person. And we go, they are being X, Y, and Z, as opposed to stopping and saying, hey, you know, like, what's going on here? You know, you know, like, why am I attracting this? Why am I being attracted to it? You know, like, there's such an opportunity, you know, for you know, for growth and learning, that, you know, it's such a, like I said, it's like just such a powerful piece, and that was so why I had you come, you know, to share with us, is to really, you know, speak into the relationship space.
because I really appreciate that you say that.
Because I know from our conversations, and this was really fun, is Suzanne and I got to get together for coffee because, wouldn't you know it, she lives right down the street. We ended up living locally, so we were able to get together, and I know from our conversation, that your style of helping people really have these great relationships that are now successful is it begins with you,
meaning it begins with each of us, and that learning who we truly are, so that we're when we're seeking a partner and we're attracting a partner, that we're really attracting someone that is truly aligned with us, not our wounds or, dysfunctional modeling. So, I'm just so, so glad that you're here. So let me kind of bring us into this conversation and just have you guide us in this. Is what in your personal, because I know you have moved through this process, and your professional with your clients, what are the greatest challenges, the greatest myths and misconceptions that people have, about relationship with other people and even with themselves that really is holding them back on this journey?
It's a beautiful question. And the first thing that I would say, Lauren, the first kind of, because I'm not a fan of myths, cliches, and rules. I'm like, eek! Ah! However, I will give one that I personally think is that people believe out there, and that is that dating and relationships are hard and they're complicated. And I think, Lauren, that they can become hard and complicated because, one, we're dealing with human beings. We are complicated in certain ways, especially when we don't understand ourselves in some way. However, I also find that if people don't have the healthy kind of knowledge about dating, love, and relationships, they can really easily get intertwined into that web and start to believe the typical myths, cliches, and rules out there. And then, yes, it can become really complicated. It can also become very practical and logical and simple, and that's what I love to teach my clients. The second thing that I'd say, Lauren, is that people make things hard when they don't understand themselves, which is kind of what you've been pointing to already in this conversation. And when people don't know how to bring their authentic, true self to date one and to the relationship, or they're waiting to be them, like, well, once, I've been on the third date or the sixth date with somebody, then I'll start to show them who I am, that doesn't work either. So I love to do some work with people for them really to understand who they are so they can be that from conversation one or, date one, because sometimes we only get one first impression. We only get one date. We might as well be the real you, right, out on the date. And then the second thing, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, let me just speak into it. Again, the term authenticity, is often thrown around, and that's what you're speaking into. It's like really being out in the world in all situations, including dating, as yourself.
Right.
And, I love that point is that so many people do that, and we do that in a lot of situations where we go out in the world as what I call chameleons, and we become what we think is going to make somebody happy. But being
exactly.
a chameleon is not sustainable. And at some
right.
point, you get tired and you forget to put on the act, or, it's just too much energy to keep pretending. But eventually,
that's right.
the true authentic you is going to come out. And unfortunately, when that happens, we're often mismatched. With the job, with, the partner, with whatever, and we find ourselves in a relationship and go, how the heck did we get here?
That's right. Yeah, like at some point somebody can sniff that something's off or something's not right. There's something not right for yourself and even with them, and no wonder relationships, like you said, they can't be sustained with that kind of foundation. You're absolutely spot on. And then the third thing that I'll mention, Lauren, with this conversation, which is like, why does it feel so hard and complicated all the time for people? And what I find in my teachings with people is that people don't know how to be lovable. And for me, I've defined lovable as, and I had to learn this myself. It took me a long, long, long time, and it's always like a work in progress. So for me, I defined lovable as how do we fully learn to love someone the way that they want to be loved? The second part is how do we allow ourselves to receive love from someone? And then the third part is how do we finally, like, love and honor ourselves so that we don't lose ourselves in a relationship again? And once people have those skills down, Lauren, oh, I think, you know, people can kind of breathe a sigh of relief, like, oh, no wonder it's been hard and complicated. And it just makes it a bit easier for people to kind of chew on such an emotionally charged area of life.
Yeah, you know, I just absolutely love that because, again, you know, like our ability, you know, to be lovable but also to receive love, you know, and that's another piece. Like, you know, a lot of people get caught up. I know my patterning was, you know, I'm a giver. And I have a funny story about this, a really funny story about, you know, about this in my life. You talk about a wake-up moment is I took a transformational course where it was very experiential in nature. And there was a group of us, and the facilitator said, you know, okay, I want you to put yourselves on either side of the room, and the givers go over here, and the takers go over there. And, of course, I went to the giving side. And the facilitator walks up to me, and he goes, you're in the wrong group. And I dug my heels in, and I said, absolutely not. I'm a giver. And everyone in the room was backing me. So, you know, my persona, my being was about being a giver. And he said, yes, you give, but you don't allow other people to give to you, so you're robbing them of the gift of giving, so you're a taker. Get in the other group. And everybody in the room, like we just stood there because there was just no argument for it. Like, there was no defense. There was no argument. It was like right, that I had swung so much the other way because I did not know how to receive. I had learned to please other people. You know, it was just kind of sort of family dynamic. I was the one that, you know, that took care of everybody, and I always made sure everybody was okay. And I just went to an extreme to the point where I didn't realize that I didn't know how to receive.
And you're pointing to a perfect issue that's out there right now between men and women, whether or not people are single or married, Lauren. And that is that if people are trained to give, they usually give to the point of resentment and exhaustion, and then they're mad that they've given so much and they haven't gotten anything back in return. On the other scale, though, it's like people are so independent that they don't even know, like, how to receive as well. So you're pointing to a great issue that's very heightened out there in the world, and that's that piece of lovable, which is to learn how to receive and also learn how to give. I think that balance is critical in relationships so people don't fall resentful.
And I think this is the perfect time for this because, you know, again, old consciousness perspective versus new consciousness perspective is we really are coming into a time of relationship, of understanding, of communication, of partnership. It's really about all the collaboration where before it was more competitive. And we saw things like, well, if you're getting, then I'm giving. You know what I mean? It was like this give and take instead of, you know, a mutually, you know, where it's mutual, where it's just a natural flow of give and take, and it really isn't give and take at all.
Yes, and I would also add to that that it also became a tit for tat or a keeping score, I think, back in the older generation. And now people have to learn how to give from their heart. I always tell people, either give from your heart or don't give at all. If you give to get something, do not give. Only give from your heart.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the, you know, the old consciousness polarity. And we, you know, and it's really interesting. It's the same conversation has been coming up in and around the financial world is that, you know, in our grandparents' generation, you worked hard and you earned money and you could retire comfortably. And we were taught, like, that kind of sort of money relationship was passed down to us. And we were modeled. That's what we were modeled. And even today, people keep saying, you know, you've got to work hard. And it's not that we should not work at all, But there is a different relationship with the financial world now. The financial world has changed. And when we continue to approach our financial life and a financial world with that old, like, you know, again, I call them rules and tools, but like with the old rules and tools, you know, we find ourselves struggling economically. And it's the same thing in, you know, in the consciousness. It, you know, that it's shifting, and it's no longer the same space and time. But I think so many people are running into, you know, major issues with relationships, like, you know, significant and personal relationships, again, because we're moving into a more conscious time, and we're becoming more aware of, you know, who we are and what we need, but we keep approaching these relationships from the old models and the old rules and tools. And there's something I need to pull. I pulled it right out of your website that speaks right into this. And this is a quote right out of your website is, "I literally had to unlearn and relearn everything about dating men, love, and relationships, and studied various methods. I then stopped listening to the rules, common myths, and cliches buzzing at me." And it's so much that is that we were taught an older generation's version of relationship and connection, and it no longer fits in this time.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Lauren. In fact, as an independent woman, right, that I am, it's very uncomfortable to be married today because I'm so not used to how much my husband nurtures and gives. He cooks, he cleans, he brings me coffee, he goes to get groceries. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I always felt like, oh, my God, I'm the one that should do all that because that's what I learned. And I had no idea the capacity that men have to do so much nurturing and giving. And what I've learned is that men love to be around women. Women bring this beautiful, special care that I sometimes don't even think that they realize, which is a very natural gift that we already have. And I had to really learn how to receive all the love that my husband wanted to give me. And it was uncomfortable at times, and I had to learn to just keep my mouth shut and just say thank you.
Yeah, you know, and you're talking again about, you know, we're actually laying this over, you know, a real relationship conversation about significant relationships with a man and a woman. But the concept, in a bigger sense, in the energetic sense, is about the masculine aspect and the feminine aspect, which all of us have both of. But the older consciousness was a very masculine-oriented time. And so men became real men. You know, there was a lot of machismo, and, you know, there was, you know, and again, in our grandparents' generation, you know, there were specific gender roles, which have really started to change. However, what I notice is happening now is in order for people really to find themselves and discover who they are, the men are starting to learn how to allow the feminine aspect of themselves in. Now, I'm not saying that they become feminine, but many men are, you know, are emotional in nature. Like, they're very sensitive, but they were told to buck up, and you're not supposed to cry, and you're not, you know, so there's a whole part of them that's, like, locked away, and they're bringing forth now their feminine aspect, which activates the male energy. So it really makes them more complete and more whole. And the same thing with the women. Like, we were taught, like, because our roles were changing, but we were taught, especially in business, we were taught to do business as women in a very masculine way. So we've become very independent. Like the pendulum is almost swung, you know, too far the other way. And we, as women, don't know how to express our feminine side, which is the, you know, the nurturing, the receiving, the, you know, like, it's really an interesting dynamic. So for both men and women, we're starting to relearn what our feminine energy and our feminine aspect is, how that expresses through us, and then now also bringing that into our significant relationships. And I know that's been a challenge for me because I also am very independent.
And it's gotten in my way in relationships in the past because I just, I just did. I was, and I didn't realize because I'm a relatively feminine woman, but I have a lot of masculine dynamic because I'm very strong and I'm very independent. And learning how to relax into the feminine side is, is a real interesting journey.
It is an interesting journey, absolutely, Lauren. And the reason why there's so much confusion out there right now is because the masculine, feminine, men-female dynamic, it's trying to, shake its way out. And, of course, with that kind of conscious transformation that's happening right now, includes some conscious confusion right now as well. And I think it's happening. And I have to, the thing that I love is, I had to teach myself this as well because I came into the dating world operating from my masculine and men were like, see you later, lady. And I had to learn the balance of my masculine and my feminine. And I teach men that same thing as well. And it's just a beautiful thing to see people blossom into knowing that it's okay to have both, which I think is what you were speaking to. Knowing when to, be in your masculine and lead and guide. And then when it's okay as a feminine to, surrender and trust and, let the walls down and trust your partner that they have your best interests at heart.
Yeah, and it's often, and I'm going to just say, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable to do it first because it feels foreign. And part of that is my inner belief system that I was taught was completely contrary from what my actions were. And it simply is taking time that the more I started to do it and watch, if you watch the response of another person, and this is in significant relationships and it's also in relationships with everyone, is, it's like, oh, okay, so I do see when I'm being a little bit more, a little softer, that, I'm being received a little bit better, as opposed to bringing forth that full masculine aspect that again, I learned how to be really independent. And it's, again, it's just such a wonderful thing. And when this really works, it's like a dance. I noticed that it's like you said at the beginning, we think dating and everything is complicated, and it really is very, light and lilty and graceful, and it flows.
I love that you said that. It's like a dance. I was having a conversation today with a client, and she said that, I shared with her, you could just ask the question, and give them, a couple answers, just ask the question. And she was so uncomfortable. She's like, oh, my gosh, I cannot ask that. And I just started to inquire with her, why she thought it wasn't okay to ask that question. And she's like, well, because I don't want to be pinned down. I don't want to pin him down. And I just thought it was such an interesting and a very common reaction where people don't think they have the right to ask a question. And a lot of times it's not the question that somebody asks, but sometimes it's how they approach or how they ask that question, that it can be received very, very well, because a lot of times confusion will happen when things are not clarified in a situation. And there's a really beautiful way to go about asking questions. And I think it's also part of the third piece of lovable, which is loving and honoring ourselves. And asking the right questions and asking really good, well-thought-out questions is really important to ourselves in honoring ourselves and also to whatever relationship that we're in, so we have clarity and peace of mind going forward. What are your thoughts about that, Lauren?
Well, as you were saying that, we were talking about questions, and there were two different thoughts that flashed in my head when you said that, and one of which is are you on an interview, or would you really truly like to engage in a relationship with this person and get to know them? And asking questions is really about, exploring. And whether you're, if you're asking these questions on a date, whether it ultimately develops into a significant relationship or not, it's like, why can't we enjoy the process of simply getting to know other human beings? And we also learn a lot about ourselves. But the second part of that that flashed in my mind as you were speaking was, I imagine that the questions that we're going to ask are not like just a standard list of questions, but the questions are going to come out of a self-exploration about what is truly important and in alignment with us, as opposed to just, you know, here's the standard cultural questions and let's see how you do and check off the list. Is really like, you know, like there are certain questions, like over the course of time, each relationship I've ever had over the course of time, I learned something about myself. And I brought it into the next situation because I knew to ask them, because I recognized that, you know, certain things are what I call non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that just are not negotiable. And then there are certain things that I can be flexible with. And I learned through experience which ones were which. And I also learned about clarity, about really getting clear with myself about what is important, and simple things. And I remember, funny thing, I love to dance. And I had gotten into a relationship, and I never thought to ask him. And you know, ultimately, he didn't dance. And there was a part of me that like wasn't really expressing. It was something I enjoy doing with my partner. Certainly, I could go take dance classes and, you know, dance with other people, but it was something that I really wanted to share with my partner. So mm-hmm. I said, next time I date, I want to find somebody who dances. And sure enough, I did, but I wasn't fully clear about what that meant. And although we danced, he only had one style of dancing. And so, it, you know, I was like, oh, I like to do ballroom dancing and salsa dancing and country western dancing. I love to do all of that. And, again, it's kind of sort of, it may seem a little insignificant, but it was clarifying, you know, what does that really mean for me? What, you know, what does having a partner that dances, that can dance with me? Because dancing gives me joy, and I want to share in that with someone. So I started to learn about myself, and I learned clarity. So I imagine, and please tell me if this is, you know, this is truly my perception of it, is correct, is that our questions are not just a, like, you know, you give them a questionnaire and go, okay, you know, ask them these questions. The questions are more formulated from a space of first self-exploration and self-knowledge, so that your questions are finding out if this person is truly aligned with you and for you.
You're exactly right, Lauren, because that's that inner work that we have to do. In fact, I ask people, I come from, you know, how many times have people been asked, what are you looking for? Who are you looking for? And I was like, oh, one more person asking me that question. But one of the tools that I have for people, Lauren, in fact, I'll share it with people on this call, which is to be really selfish. Like, it's okay to be selfish. Like, look at what's really important to you. And I think that's that self-reflection piece that you're talking about. And to ask ourselves, what kind of a person would have us be fulfilled with for a lifetime? And then to get really specific, and I'm not talking about a list that's 30 or 50 items long, but like 8 to 15 items that really are important to you. These items really matter because you say that they fulfill you. And I think that's what's really important, and that's why I'm having so much success with clients these days, Lauren, and why I have a really successful relationship, because I did that internal work on myself, and I was unapologetic that these are my preferences that I have, you know, with somebody that will fulfill me. I didn't go ask anybody, oh, is this okay that I want this? No, I think we all have a right to what we say will fulfill us, and I love coming from that perspective and that angle with people, and it seems to be really working really well for people.
You know, and this talks right into, you know, a concept that, again, we've been speaking through throughout the summit is a self-guided life. And, you know, and making sure that the vision that we are holding for ourselves and our life and success is a self-defined definition, that we have so many cultural definitions and cultural norms and cultural yardsticks that we often think, and you know, we, again, money comes up because we often have been shown, even in the spiritual space, that spiritual success is somehow associated with financial success, you know, and large amounts of income and money. And that really may not be what is aligned for you. Now, clearly we live in a culture where money, you know, makes the world go around. Like, you know, we live in an economic culture, so money certainly has a place. But but we often are judging ourselves as successful or not based on the dollar amount that's in our bank account. And if you live a much more simplified life, you don't need near as much money as someone who really wants to, you know, have the jet and the private island and the Mercedes and all of that, if that's aligned for them. It's like a different financial level, but it has to first be defined within yourself. And significant relationship is exactly that. It's like if you first have to understand yourself before you can step into this game, or you are going to end up, you know, having a partner that is not matched for you, and oftentimes it'll be a struggle. So
exactly, you know, and that's why people go unfulfilled. I love the word of fulfillment. Most people will go, God, why did that relationship end? Why did that relationship end? Most of the time, it's because you weren't specific enough about really the kind of person that you were looking for. Are you going to get all of those things on your list? Well, I shoot for about 80%. But what happens, Lauren, is that people will go, oh, I went unfulfilled. No wonder. Oh, they weren't a match. And I do believe that people should say around financial success or stability what that would look like for them. I mean, for me, I like a certain lifestyle. I like a certain luxurious lifestyle, and I like a simple lifestyle as well, Lauren. So it's an interesting balance that I have to balance within myself.
Dan, I love the word fulfilled, that you, you know, you use that, because, again, so many people are trying to fill themselves up. There's something that has not been healed within them, so there's a space or void. And we're looking outside of ourselves to create that sense of inner fulfillment, you know, fulfilled, which are both, you know, filler up. But it's oftentimes we are attempting to bring in fulfillment from the other person, which is a responsibility and weight that it does not belong on them. And the truth is that very rarely, if ever, they can fill you up, because if you're empty inside, you're empty inside. So it's about you being fulfilled and then stepping into the relationship space to now create fulfillment as a whole person within the relationship space, as opposed to coming as a, you know, a partially empty person hoping that the relationship is going to complete you.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I love the fact that you brought this up, because there were times that, and I speak about this in my book, there were times that I just felt empty. I felt unsatisfied. I was cranky, and I would look inside and go, what's wrong? Why am I so unhappy? And one of the things that I realized in myself was that I wasn't exercising. I wasn't filling myself up with my own, you know, top two love languages that were touch and quality time. And I go, oh, well, no wonder. And somebody can't give that to me. I think a man or, you know, a woman can make us happier, but it's our job to make us happy first and foremost. And then going back to your point, we have to understand ourselves to know what is that? What is it that makes us fulfilled? What is it that makes us happy? Because we cannot put that pressure on a partner. They can make us happier, but it is not their job to make us happy. And I had to learn that the hard way sometimes.
Yeah, you know, we all did. You know, like that's one of those fun things. It's like, you know, we're speaking about this, but we walked that path. We tripped up and made all of these mistakes. And the only difference, you know, between us and them being in this situation where we're teaching is because we chose to have a sense of awareness and unlearn and relearn. And I'm still learning. And I still
Me
am.
Too.
We all are still learning. You know, and it's you know, again, the relationship of everything in the spiritual conversation is a reflection of everything else, because universal law is universal law. And it doesn't matter what aspect of our lives we're speaking about. You know, if we're speaking about money, we're speaking about career, we're speaking about, you know, significant relationships, it's all the same principles, but we need to learn how to apply them across the board. And you know, I love how, you know, again, we can look to, you know, a partner to try to fulfill us. We can look to money. That's a big one, too. Like, once I have enough money, then I will be happy. And ultimately, if we do not do the inner work first and learn to have a loving, compassionate, you know, aware, awake and aware relationship with ourselves,
we will achieve these goals and still feel empty.
Absolutely. You're brilliantly said, Lauren. You're absolutely right. And you're right. It's an ongoing process. Like, I'm constantly learning. And when I fall down, I go, okay, I'm not doing the things that will make me happy. My husband can't fix that. He can add to it. Sure, he can try. But sometimes I have to step away and say, okay, I need to just step away. I need to take some time to myself because I'm not doing the things that I know I need to do for myself. And I think it's a learning process for everyone. And I'm so happy to be on this journey with you and with everyone to just really look at what is fulfillment, what is happiness, what is that kind of self-awareness that we're all really stepping into. It's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I was thinking of, you know, something I saw on Facebook. I love Facebook. Facebook is like the craziest place for finding spiritual inspiration. You know, like it's such not that, but everyone is in there and there's great information. And one of the things that came across, you know, the feed was, you know, was something about our level of enlightenment and recognizing that, you know, like this really is, you know, a journey. And no matter how enlightened we think we are, what came across the feed was, do you think you're enlightened? Go spend some time with your family.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that
one. And it was so funny, but it so relates to this is like, you know, you want to know how much healing you've done or you want a yardstick for where you are on your journey is, you know, get into relationships and you will literally see where there's work to be done. And what's wonderful about the work that you do is that when people do decide to become aware and they really want to learn how to step into healthy relationship, and I say that with themselves because that's where it all begins and that's the work you do with your clients and why you're so successful with what you do is it starts with them. It starts with them. So I'm so glad that you are here to, you know, to bring this forth. And I also know you have a spectacular gift for our listeners today. So can you share a little bit about that?
So I would love to. Absolutely. So for the gift for everyone, I am gifting a free copy of my Lovable book, an electronic version of Lovable. It has a lot of the practices Lauren and I talked about today, but it is my gift to everyone.
And, you know, and I say it's a spectacular gift because it's, you know, although your profession is in the dating and relationship space, this is really one of the greatest spiritual tools. So whether you're in relationship, whether you're looking for relationship, you know, the skills that you teach really can be applied universally throughout everyone's life. And this is just such a joyful way of, you know, of learning some of the tangible and practical spiritual practices that will really allow us, as you said, to have that fulfilling experience and that fulfilling life. So thank you for, you know, for sharing your book with everyone.
Thank you. What a joy.
Before we go, do you have a tip or any words of wisdom that can assist our listeners in, you know, in really stepping into more ease in their journey?
I think what I would leave people with today, Lauren, is the idea of trying to achieve that world of the three pieces of lovable rather than finding love, because I think that finding love can put a lot of pressure on people. But as people learn the skills to receive love from somebody, to love someone fully, and to love and honor themselves, we become a space of love. And stepping into a loving, healthy relationship becomes so much easier when those skills are maintained and sustained and, you know, learned over time. But that's what I would go for and achieve, which is that world of just feeling lovable. And that's a lot of that self-love within. And I think people will be surprised how more attractive they become to others around them everywhere.
Oh, I love how you just said that. It's like love is not a destination. It's not a thing to attain. It's a space of being.
That's right.
It's a
space. That's what I had to learn. And then it got easier I didn't have to get anywhere like a strategy or try to get somebody to like me or to love me.
Yeah, and it is, it's, you know, vibration. If we are vibrating in love, we are more attractive to be loved and to receive love. So, oh, man, Suzanne, thank you so much. This was such a wonderful, wonderful conversation, you know, in the concept of spiritual success. And I'm so honored that you came and shared, you know, your knowledge and your wisdom and, you know, and your joy with everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. Until next time, be well and live a successful, spiritually inspired life.